Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I am John Iderola, and that's all you've got. You've got me, and you've got some fairly awesome news, actually. We got a lot to talk about, including some fairly breaking stories developing throughout the morning. We have continued fallout from some of the big judicial decisions of yesterday that bear on Donald Trump and his legal, financial, and perhaps political future, as well as a whole lot more besides. Prior Trump lawyers commenting on Trump's current legal team is a lot of fun. We're also gonna be dissecting the different approaches to the topic of immigration that Joe Biden and Donald Trump are currently taking. We've noticed some subtle differences between the two, and we wanna discuss those. Let's see, we've got Donald Trump putting into his crosshairs a relatively MAGA Republican that I guess isn't deferential enough to him. So that's creating a little bit of drama on the right. And once we get to the aftermath, that's all in the first hour. In the aftermath, we have to talk about Elon Musk losing a big lawsuit, but gaining a new passion for graphic design. That'll be fun. And killer cows, they're a menace. They need to be stopped, and you need to be armed and ready for when they show up at your door or burst through it, I suppose. And then if there's time, I'm gonna end the show talking about Marvel movies, but I have an excuse. It's arguably political. So we'll be discussing all of that and even more. So if you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. You can share the stream if that's a thing that you're watching. If you're just listening on the podcast, that's great too. Feel free to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I always appreciate reading those. And it's one of the only things that helps the discoverability of the podcast, because many years into the whole podcast thing, it is still a mess when it comes to discovering new ones. But you can help us out by rating and reviewing it. And with all that, why don't we jump into the news? You probably know by now that a bridge has tragically collapsed in Baltimore after being struck by a cargo ship. What you may not know is that almost immediately after the footage hit the internet was then hit by a tsunami of conspiracy theories about that tragic event. So we're gonna get to that in just one sec. But in case you don't know about the background of this, it was the Francis Scott Keys Bridge. And at least as of when we're going live, I'm sure this is developing rapidly. Six people were missing. There were no yet reported casualties, which when you see the footage, as you were earlier, seems amazing. So we know that the eight people who ended up in the water as a result of the collapse of the bridge were part of a construction crew that was filling potholes. Six of those people are still missing. There is a hospitalization, but one other person was also recovered. And Biden has already announced, President Biden has announced that the federal government will be contributing to pay for the repair of the bridge, for it to be reestablished. Although a bridge of that size is certainly going to take time, so bear in mind that. You can see a little bit of footage here. It's dramatic. I understand why, you know, people find the footage so compelling. And I also understand that when you see a thing like that, there are two types of people in this world. There are people who can see something like that, a tragedy that should never happen, that is so visually just horrifying, and accept that regrettably, we live in a chaotic world where terrible things sometimes happen. And then there are other sorts of people that need something lurking in the background explaining everything. Things cannot happen through accident, you know, bad tragic accidents can't happen. Somebody needs to be pulling the strings. And so simple-minded people turn to conspiracies. And we've got some simple-minded people for you. So in analyzing that footage and trying to come up with an explanation as to why it happened, we turn now to cybersecurity expert Andrew Tate, who says this ship was cyber attacked. Not this ship might have been cyber attacked. It was cyber attacked. Lights go off and it deliberately steers towards the bridge supports, which is not something that's actually shown in the footage. Foreign agents of the USA attack digital infrastructures. Nothing is safe. Black swan event imminent. Look, I love that movie too. I don't know that this necessarily, you know, like predicts a sequel to come out so late, but you know, people won Oscars. I could see why they'd want to do that. What I love also is that he's still committed to US cybersecurity, despite the fact that years ago, he fled to an Eastern European country that he thought had more amenable laws when it comes to sexual assault. So it's nice that he still feels an attachment to us. The rest of it is just sheer conspiracist nonsense. He has no idea what he's talking about. But what he does understand is that on Twitter, you just post something like that with literally no evidence. And when it's contradicted by the facts, even if instantaneously, it won't hurt you in the slightest. You've already got the retweets. You've already got, thanks to Elon Musk, possibly money off of that, because the few remaining advertisers on Twitter are going to have their ads put against this conspiracist nonsense. But it's not just him. Alex Jones is not going to allow himself to be one-upped by Andrew Tate. So he responds, "Looks deliberate to me. A cyber attack is probable. World War III has already started. Dot, dot, dot." And seems to be developing at a slow pace because nothing's actually happened since then. World War III, really, in this era with nuclear weapons and drone swarms and everything. It seems quiet for a world war, but cyber attack probable, looks deliberate. Do you notice what's happening there? Alex Jones is less willing to get ahead of the facts than Andrew Tate at this point. Alex Jones is like, it's probably a false flag, but not necessarily. So he's showing a little bit of willingness to pump the brakes a bit. So that's one conspiracy. It was a cyber attack. Some enemy of the US has done it. There is another one, okay, that this is a specifically anti-American attack, not just because it attacked American infrastructure, but because it attacked a symbol of Americana. Now, that is the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And as everyone knew, including these conspiracy theorists, that's the individual who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Everybody already knew that. And so the Hodge twins, who used to just put like reaction videos up on YouTube, and then they found out that there was more money in being right-wing grifters. They tweeted, "The Key Bridge is named after Francis Scott Key, the man who wrote our national anthem. Symbolic for sure. Was it intentional? Lots of questions with this one." Yeah, no, there could be questions, and questions can be answered, but you're not actually interested in that. You're interested in just stating that something untoward has happened. And they didn't even go as far as some others did. At the Eye of the World says, "Francis Scott Key, who the bridge that collapsed in Baltimore was named after, is the author of the Star Spangled Banner. What anti-American elements caused the ship to lose power and hit the bridge? Officials are saying terrorism may have been in play with the bridge collapse." And I know what you're thinking. Which officials? You already know, Andrew Tate. Anyway, I don't like to revel everything in conspiracy, but are we dealing with the new world order here? Like, first of all, you protest too much. You don't like to throw conspiracy on everything. I think that I'm not gonna go to your profile because nobody should do that. But if I did, I have a feeling I could probably find other conspiracies. I think you do like to revel everything in conspiracy, don't you, Eye of the World? But anyway, now it's not just a rogue cyber attack, ISIS or something. It's not just someone trying to take down a symbol of America and the American spirit. Because as I said, everyone knows that that bridge was named after the person who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Not just people who frantically Googled it after the attack, and Michael Shore, who I checked, and he did know that that's who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. No, everybody knew it. Now it's the New World Order. But like, Biden is the president, and Biden, who is either a lizard or a clone or a robot, is definitely part of the New World Order. So why is he destroying it when it clearly seems to be helping these right-wing grifters gin up outrage online? Why would they do that in this case? As with so many things when it comes to conspiracies, no explanation is offered. But you go in, like, there's so much more. This guy Q-Tip, he doesn't think that it's just about Francis Scott Key writing the Star Spangled Banner. He goes into this whole diatribe about how when he was a kid, he had to send like critical letters to the government about the Star Spangled Banner. Like, I need to let you conspiracists know, therapy is available. Now, it's unfortunately expensive, and I do think the American government should do more to subsidize mental health. But there's gotta be somebody who can help you. This is not the way, is all I would say. But you can go beyond that. Everything, like vague conspiracies, are not enough anymore. It has to come back to race. And it did, with Paul Szupula saying Synergy Marine Group, the company behind this, promotes DEI in their company. Did anti-white business practices cause this disaster? What is the theory here at Bubble Bath Girl? What is the theory that because they put an incompetent non-white pilot, the pilot panicked and turned off power to the ship and steered into it? And also, if you're a right winger, are you not mad? Because this is implying that it's just like, I don't know, a Latino pilot's incompetence. He's saying the New World Order didn't do this. I think this guy's covering for the New World Order. But anyway, here's the thing. And I'm sorry to the conspiracists online to burst their bubble. And you'll notice, by the way, that every single one of those people that I showed you their comment are all verified on Twitter. They're all as reputable as NBC News or whatever. But anyway, and they're making money off of this. This is just a thing that happens. It sucks that it happens, but it happens. In 1980, a cargo ship collided with the Sunshine Skyway Bridge on Tampa Bay. 35 people in that case lost their lives. As of when we're recording this, thankfully no one has died yet. And there's a good reason for it that really undercuts the conspiracy theories. And we'll get to that in one sec. But that happened February 22nd, earlier this year, a port in southern China. There was a small vessel that had stacks of containers, hit the base of a two-lane bridge, causing vehicles to fall into the water. 5 people died in that case. Back in World War II, in the Chesapeake Bay, a bridge was hit by a tanker and collapsed. It's a thing that happens. It sucks, but it's reality. You know, facts don't care about your conspiracist feelings, is what I would put on the shirt, I think. But in any event, what you need to know is that the cargo ship reported to authorities that had lost power before the collapse. That is why they were able to stop cars from continuing to travel on the bridge. They tried, when power was restored, to steer away from it, contrary to what the conspiracy theorists have said. This is not a thing where they were just hacked or the New World Order did it. They gave warning that an accident had happened, because we live in a complex world where accidents do indeed happen. And so, look, Biden is going to pay for the repair of it. Governor Westmore says it's going to take a long time, but they're going to get it repaired. And it's certainly going to impact a lot of people's lives in the meantime until it's constructed. Pete Buttigieg has already traveled there. I guess he learned from the train collapse that you should get a move on when a tragedy happens. But unfortunately, we used to have like social media to make sure that people got accurate information as fast as possible. For all of Twitter's problems, and it had many, it was a place you could go and you could get accurate information about developing news. But now that's not what you get. Instead, what you get is conspiracy theories thrown up by morons as fast as possible for financial profit. And that's what we're seeing here. It's the same as when the car crashed at the northern border, the border stop with Canada. They immediately jumped out and called it a conspiracy. Of course it wasn't. It was just a tragic event that happened. But they'd already gotten the clout. They'd already gotten the money. Nobody's unfollowing them because they cried conspiracy wolf and were proven to be wrong. And that is unfortunately how the incentives are set up on the internet. So hopefully everyone has recovered from the water. We don't know for sure yet. And the actual human cost of this tragedy has, of course, been completely forgotten by the people who are trying to personally profit on it. But that's what people should be focused on. And right now, lives are still on the line. Okay, with that said, we do need to turn from that to other major news. Whenever we're ready, we can jump into this.
You mentioned the cash you have. You said on Friday it's something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign?
Yeah.
You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option. But if I have to spend $500 million on a bond, I wouldn't have that option. I'd have to start selling things. I don't have to sell anything.
Okay, so it's absolutely none of your business, even though this is a press conference. It's where you go and you speak, and then people ask you questions, and it's talking about campaign finance, like you're a presidential candidate. It's kind of a big part of it. I don't know why that's not your business, particularly when you bear in mind that just a couple of days ago, he bleated this in all caps: through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash, a substantial amount of which I intended to use in my campaign for president. Blah, 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 conspiracy theories. So you already said 3 days ago that you're gonna use the money on your campaign. So why are you getting so mad at the reporter? Look, obviously he's mentally falling apart. He probably doesn't even remember that he all caps bleated that. But let's let him explain his train of somewhat thought in this.
Why should I let a crooked judge make a decision to give $450 million that allows me to spend very little money on my campaign if I so choose? I'll be spending money on my campaign. I might spend a lot of money on my campaign. But I should have that option. A crooked judge shouldn't say, we're going to have you post a bond and take all of that money that I could be spending on a campaign or other things if I want to do other things. So we were gratified by the professionalism of the opinion today. I thought it was a very important opinion for New York. But the only thing that's going to really solve that problem is when I win, because you're going to have to win.
Yeah, so look, I think that he really does believe that. Now, it doesn't work in all cases, as he thinks these civil judgments cannot, I don't think, simply go away because he becomes president. But many of his other arguably larger legal challenges actually could disappear if he wins. And he's right. That's why his strategy, his legal strategy, when it comes to the stolen documents and January 6th and the hush money payments and all of that, even Georgia, it's not I didn't break the law. It's could we wait for a little while? Could we wait for a week or a month or 6 months? Can we just get to the election and then see what happens? That's why his legal defense looks the way it does. He's not lying there. He's being honest. He thinks that winning is all that matters. Now, the rest of it is insane. And for regular people, it should boil your blood that he gets to talk about the legal judgment for the crimes that he has already been proven to have committed in that way. That why do I have to listen to a judge who says I should pay this when I should be spending it on my election or other things if I want to? Because you stole that money. You stole that money through fraud. It's already been demonstrated. If you stole a car, could you get a press conference like that where you pitch it as like, how dare this crooked judge stop me? I should be able to take that $35,000 for that Hyundai and put it into Top Golf or something. Would you be able to do that? No, but the rich can. And there's theoretically a movement, the right-wing populist movement, that doesn't like that there's this two-tiered system, but they're perfectly happy with what you saw there.
Ever accept money from a foreign government to pay the bond or their fines or?
No, I don't do that. I think you'd be allowed to, possibly. I don't know. I mean, if you go borrow from a big bank, many of the banks are outside of this. As you know, the biggest banks, frankly, are outside of our country. So you could do that, but I don't need to borrow money. I have a lot of money. I built a great company.
Okay, so you just saw that. He said that he could totally do it. You saw that. Okay, now hold that in your mind as we proceed forward a little bit. So on Twitter, the Biden-like Twitter campaign apparatus tweeted this. Trump insists he's allowed to take foreign money to pay his bond. Now, you already saw he insisted that he could. You saw it like 12 seconds ago, okay? So just bear that in mind. His soldiers online, though, do not like that people are acknowledging that that's what he said. And so they lost their mind. His like kind of equivalent to the Biden HQ on Twitter, the Trump War Room, tweeted this, wrong, you dip. I'm gonna say dip poop, because it makes him sound ridiculous. He said he'll pay with cash, securities, or bonds. I don't think he used those words, by the way. Unlike Crooked Joe, who's bought and paid for by the CCP. I understand that you're very, very bothered by what Donald Trump said and the fact that people are acknowledging that it was said, but he said it. He said, now look, he started by saying he won't take the foreign money. That's true. But then he insisted that he's allowed to. And you saw how defensive he got in saying, well, and also like all the big banks are foreign money. So I guess, you know, by its very nature, like if you're taking money from a bank, you're taking money from a foreign bank, I suppose. So I can do that. I'm not gonna do that. I don't need to do that. I have lots of money and I have lots of everything. But I could do it. That is insisting that you're allowed to do it. Now, he didn't get as defensive as the wrong dip S Twitter account did, but he was still defensive. I do want to just take a quick stop over, though, to the fact that they felt they needed to bring up the China thing, that China has bought Joe Biden because of the $5 million that they assert that he took that they've never been able to demonstrate. And it burns in their bellies that they couldn't prove that. I will remind all of you that Donald Trump, as well as Ivanka Trump, had all of those trademarks that they got while he was president. And also Donald Trump took in a bunch of money, not through donations, direct cash going to his organization from Chinese officials, as well as the officials of many other foreign countries staying at his hotels. They stayed there. They spent tons of money purely so that money would be funneled to Donald Trump. Now, apparently there is nothing illegal about that. I'm not asserting that he should be impeached in the future if he becomes president over that, but he definitely took the money. He knew what they were doing and he took the money. That clearly bothers them. The fact that he did it and Biden didn't, and they really wish that he had. But anyway, in this case, we're gonna give the last laugh to the Biden team who replied to that with just this drill tweet and another thing. I'm not mad. Please don't put in the newspaper that I got mad, which is not bad for, you know, I know that it's not Biden who's tweeting it or whatever. That should be clear, but it's not bad as the last laugh. Or was it actually? Because even though they have very much been owned, the Trump War Room responded with this. They didn't have anything topical. They didn't have anything to do with what was being talked about. So instead, they put up this video of Joe Biden tripping. I don't know what that has to do with the fact that Donald Trump did say that he could take foreign money and is setting up the possibility that he could take foreign, maybe Saudi money to get him out of his legal troubles. Does that make you feel better, Trump War Room, that he tripped? Have you seen Donald Trump walk? Have you seen the state of his body? No? You want to talk about it? We'll talk about it. If you want to talk about the state of the, we weren't. This wasn't anything about the state of the candidates' bodies or minds. But if that's what you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Let's jump into this.
You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already, and we'll bring crime back to law and order.
Oh, Grandpa's falling apart. Work as hard as you can, become president again, and you can bring crime back to law and order. And we won't be distracted by elections in our political system. That would be too weird. So anyway, look, the brain rot continues. That's just a little sampling, not even from one of his big rally speeches. That was just a small press conference that he did after yesterday's legal developments. And even in that, he's misplacing words and he doesn't know how to express himself. But we've talked a lot about this on the program recently. We featured, for instance, in an interview, the work of Dr. John Gartner. Now, he is still out there trying to, you know, sort of ring the alarms on what he sees and what other psychiatrists and psychologists see in Donald Trump. But I wanted to give you a little of an update of some of what he's been saying in his interviews, as well as another psychiatrist analyzing the physical state of Donald Trump. There's been a lot of focus on his mind, but she talks about his body, and we'll get to that in one sec. But Dr. John Gartner says Trump can't go a full week without displaying gross signs of what appears to be dementia. This week he said Joe Biden beat Barack Hussein Obama. Ever heard of him? Donald Trump is disoriented. I didn't see that quote, but I don't even know what that would be a reference to. But he goes on to say, in my opinion, this is brain damage. There is no medically credible explanation for these occurrences that doesn't involve brain damage, most probably dementia. His telltale signs used to be more intermittent, but his apparent dementia is progressing at an accelerating rate, as is normal for the illness. And that has certainly been my experience. Feel free to disagree in the comments. These sorts of mess ups in his ability to speak, even when looking at a teleprompter, he used to do that, but he didn't used to do that at anything like this rate. But anyway, obviously Donald Trump is under a lot of pressure, not just with the election, but also with the legal troubles. And that is something that Dr. John Gartner thinks could also affect him. So he was asked in an interview with Chauncey DeVega of Salon, what do you think happens next with Donald Trump, given all the pressure he's under, and specifically with his property potentially being seized in New York and elsewhere? And the doctor said, every bit of stress is going to deepen the cracks in Trump's fragile brain, hastening his deterioration. If the press deigns to show them to us, we'll see ever more flagrant displays of cognitive decline and more often. He can't get through a single rally without displaying a tell that looks a lot like a symptom of dementia. Now, he goes on in the interview to predict that you won't see a lot of that from the media. And I'm not sure that I agree with that. There has not been a lot of mainstream media coverage of the undeniable acceleration of this decline. We will have to see once we get into the general election if that's something that pops up more. But I did also tell you about another doctor. This is Dr. Elizabeth Zoffman, who recently had, you can see also an interview with Chauncey DeVega, about the changes in how Donald Trump moves. So you don't often see Donald Trump move. He's often just standing behind a podium or standing to hit a golf ball. But he does sometimes walk on camera, and he does sometimes, I'll say, dance at rallies. And so she said that his walk appears wide-based, and he has developed a swing of his right leg. She's talking about in comparison to prior footage of him walking. He appears glued to the floor when he dances for his audience. If caught on camera standing still, he appears unnaturally immobile. And look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not Dr. John Gardner, I'm not Dr. Elizabeth Zoffman, but it could be that if you are having trouble in moving, if you are tripping, if you are having trouble with that sort of thing, or if you feel like your walk is visibly distinct from how it used to be, then you might not want to move a lot when people are watching you. You might not want to have that visible evidence of your decline. And so perhaps you won't produce mashups like the Trump War Room did on Twitter of Joe Biden tripping or whatever, but that doesn't mean that there aren't valid concerns from medical professionals about the state of his mind or the state of his body. We'll just have to see if it's something that voters actually prioritize as we get into this election. With all that said, we do need to take our first break of the hour. Stick around, a lot more to come after this. Okay, everyone, at the close of that social break, I was talking about the bonus content we've been putting out over on YouTube. So for our tier two members, we put out a special report with myself and Francesca about the Russian concert hall attack. That went out to the tier two and tier three members. But we also decided, you know what? Just as a treat, we put out a bonus bit of content for all members. And that was us responding to the Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. So that's available to all of our members over on YouTube. And I hope you enjoy that. We just did a little bit extra as a thank you to all of the people who signed up as members recently. Okay, with that said, I think that we should probably talk about some news. So whenever we're ready, why don't we jump into this?
Nobody is going to be deported. There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration. Period.
So the ad that you just saw came from MAGA Inc. That's one of the super PACs supporting Donald Trump's presidential campaign. And you're seeing in this a bit of a dueling war on the topic of immigration. Ads coming out supporting Donald Trump. And seemingly in response to ads that the Joe Biden campaign has put out to try to recontextualize this topic, which is obviously one of the ones that a lot of people are talking about during this campaign. So here is the Biden campaign ad on this topic.
This election is an election between me and a guy named Trump. This is a guy who called Latinos criminal drug dealers and rapists.
They're rapists. They're rapists.
Now he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. Poisoning
what the hell is he talking about? The reason we're as good as we are is because we are the most diverse country in the world. And with you all, we're going to work together and change the world here.
Okay, so small critique, I would have had him be a little bit higher energy there, but I understand that they're trying to differentiate that he seems like a reasonable person that is rightly just stupefied by the insanity that he's seeing coming out of the Trump campaign. And look, it's not just the ads that Trump is putting out. I want everyone to remember, because for some reason the media isn't really talking about it, they have that big mass deportation plan waiting in the wings if Donald Trump becomes president again. They're planning on setting up literally a network of concentration camps at the border and then trying to deputize local law enforcement to track down people who could be here illegally to be deported by the millions. It would fundamentally reshape what America looks like, and certainly what America is politically and culturally. That is what's to come if Donald Trump becomes president. And so Biden is trying to differentiate himself. And it's part of a very well-funded, I think, $30 million ad campaign. I want you also to bear in mind that we have to be fair. So in the ad that you saw from MAGA Inc., Joe Biden appears to want an invasion at the border. He says nobody is going to be deported. And so if you just watch that ad, you're left with the idea that that's what has happened. That's not what has happened at all. And what has happened isn't necessarily going to make the MAGA Inc. feel much better, but it also probably won't make the Democrats feel much better. I will let you all hopefully remember that many of the immigration policies that Joe Biden kept in effect during the initial years of his presidency were like holdovers from the Trump administration. And people have very much been deported. Deportations in reporting as of the last 24 hours recently hit 142,000. It is a lot of people that have been deported. Now, no, he's not building more of the wall because that was stupid, but he did support the bipartisan immigration law. That was killed thanks to the advocacy of Donald Trump. Did you notice that the MAGA Inc. ad didn't mention that? That funding to hire more border patrol officers and to make sure that there's more security at the border and to hire more judges so that they can adjudicate asylum claims more expeditiously. Did you notice that they didn't mention that in the MAGA Inc. ad? Weird. I guess they didn't have time. It was a short ad, you know, it was a short ad. But anyway, we have one more ad we want to show you. So why don't we roll that?
For our abuelos.
Insulin that costs $35
or hundreds.
That is the difference between Joe Biden
and Donald Trump.
For women, the freedom to control our own bodies or doctors going to jail for an abortion.
This is the difference
between Joe Biden
or Donald Trump.
Only one choice is right.
And the difference between them is your vote.
Okay, so look, the fact that it's Joe Biden that they asked for makes that ad seem a little bit funny, but it's not that it's wrong. Yeah, no, look, on the substance, on the actual policies, the stakes of the election, I think that it's accurate. We are going to have to see, and I don't know about you, but I'm on the edge of my seat. which tone is going to work here? Because you'll notice that the tones were slightly different, weren't they? So you have the MAGA Inc., which is saying effectively, your car has 30 migrants on it right now jumping up and down. You may not know that, but look out the window. They're destroying your car. And then the Biden ads are like, you know, like, let's be reasonable and maybe people should have rights and healthcare. And I like that. I like rational discussion of politics. I know I don't always reach that lofty goal myself, but I try. The question is, which is going to be more appealing? Like, in a time where Joe Biden is the incumbent and things economically seem to be looking up, and we'll see what happens with the immigration topic as we get closer to the election, which of those are they going to find more salient? I don't know. But I do know that the stakes are very high, especially in a race where it's going to come down to a couple of swing states that they themselves will come down to 10 or 20,000 votes or maybe slightly more. We know, according to a New York Times Siena College poll that was released earlier this month, Trump apparently has gained support among Latino voters. So the expectation is that about 15% of the eligible voter pool in November will be made up of Latino voters. We don't know, you know, what the actual turnout will be, but that's sort of the stakes. And Biden's support from Hispanic voters was down from 65% in 2020 to 53% this year, which is a fairly significant drop. And in some of these states, could be crucial. So I understand why Joe Biden is prioritizing this, why he discusses topics so much in the State of the Union, why they're putting so much money into the ads, because theoretically the race could hinge on it. And it could come down to fear mongering versus a message of, you know, a little bit more common sense, a call for actual reform, even reform that's slanted towards what the conservatives want. But we'll have to see. In any event, let's turn to other matters, starting with this video.
I hope she took a little piece of humble pie today, because that's what was served to her. Just a little, but we'll be serving a lot more of that in the next couple of years.
So that is Lena Haba, who is taking a victory lap, which I don't think I've ever seen someone take a victory lap after utterly failing over and over and over again, at least in terms of her effect on Trump's legal challenges. So she has presided over multiple losses, losses that have already cost Donald Trump $100 million. And that's with the civil fraud bond still waiting in the wings over the next 10 days. But she's happy as a representative of the Trump legal team, because obviously yesterday a New York appeals court reduced the $464 million bond to just $175 million. That is a lot less. It's still a lot of money, though. It still doesn't look great for Donald Trump. So she seems oddly jubilant, but I guess you'll take your victories where you can. But here is the thing. She herself has not helped him out very much. And there's been a lot of commentary about that in the punditry, but also former Trump lawyers have been pointing out the failings in her as a legal advocate for Donald Trump. We want to give you a little bit of that. So here's a video of Tim Parlator and Ty Cobb, who you might recall. They've both represented Donald Trump in different legal proceedings, and here are their thoughts.
From my perspective, I would regret having her represent him. I mean, I do think that in both of these trials, he was essentially undefended. And I think that it could have turned out differently. Once the issues were set up from the first trial, second trial was a loser from the beginning. The question is how big of a loser? And this goes back to, you know, a jury is going to come up with a number. And you have to put on the best presentation to them to get them to come to a lower number. And so all of these, you know, things that she did throughout the process, I don't think helps at all.
What do you think about how she's handled the case?
I think she's handled it in the mafia way. She's done his bidding. She's articulated his political narrative of victimization and unfairness in the judicial system, and made some outlandish claims, including the conflict claims. And she lost. So she's a loser.
Okay, so, you know, a nuanced take on Lena Haba from the former lawyers. And just in case you question their, I guess, qualifications to make this criticism, the first man you saw there, Tim Parlator, who he's the one that called her a loser. Sorry, no, both called her a loser. Sorry, Lena Haba. A lot of people are calling you a loser. I apologize that I'm getting them mixed up. But Tim Parlator spent over a year working for Trump on a number of legal challenges, including very high profile cases like the DOJ's January 6th investigation, as well as the classified documents case. I mean, these are a couple of the biggest criminal challenges to Donald Trump. And Ty Cobb, he was the second guy who called her a loser, who looked there like he would play like a perfect steampunk airship captain at Disneyland. Anyway, he was an ex-Trump White House lawyer and the special counsel of the White House during the Mueller probe. So what you really have there is the entire breadth of the post-2016 Trump legal representation, and none of them think that she's done him any favors. But it's not just his lawyers that are saying that. Sean Crowley, lawyer for E. Jean Carroll, who you'll recall Donald Trump had to pay $100 million, thanks in no small part to Alina Habba. She was interviewed and she claimed that she felt Habba behaved more like a lawyer outside the courtroom than in it, and stated that Trump seemed to be getting annoyed with Habba during the trial. Quote, "I think Habba felt like she had to say things to the judge and to us and sort of put on a performance. I think that she had a hard job. And I appreciate the empathy, misplaced though it might be. And I think it's totally right. I think that Alina Habba is really stuck between a rock and a hard place. And the rock, I suppose, is that she does have to put on a performance. That's what Donald Trump wants. That's probably why Donald Trump still seems to show loyalty to her, despite the fact that she's never done him any favors legally. He still seems to like her because she puts on a good performance, both in the courtroom, although maybe not good enough. He seemed a little bit frustrated, but she goes in the media and she throws a lot of zingers and, you know, she insults people and she says some vaguely racist stuff, and all of that is great for him, but it doesn't help her in the courtroom. So that's the rock. And then the hard place is that she's a terrible, terrible, terrible lawyer. And so when you combine those two things, I don't really know how she was supposed to win. I will also throw one extra factor. Generally in this metaphor, you have the rock and the hard place, but there's one extra thing, and that is that Donald Trump is 100% guilty of all of these allegations, and it is blatantly obvious to everyone involved that that is the case. So again, even if you had a competent lawyer, I don't know what they could do to help this guy. And unfortunately, they don't in this case. So she's still getting paid. We'll see how long that lasts. She could theoretically be thrown under the bus at any time. If you search Donald Trump's legal history, the history of Mar-a-Lago, it's already happened. So there is a precedent for it. My advice to Alina Habba would be to try to, you know, re-up your study of the law a little bit. It might help you in the future. And also appreciate this moment while you have it. Take as much money as you can, if he's even still paying you, because it might not last that much longer. Okay, I see in the chat, two works for you saying bring back Rayvanna. Hey, I didn't get rid of Rayvanna. She has a new job. That was not on me. I mean, I don't think any of them are on me, but anyway, we've got some great guests coming up soon. Sabrina's gonna be making her return very soon, and more people besides. I think Waz is gonna be here next week, so a lot of fun coming up. Bad Gamer Wyatt should also be back on the show. We should definitely reach out about that. Okay, and possibly The Rock. Well, I'll run the hard place thing, you know, past him and see what he thinks. Okay, with that said, lots of news to get to, and I think we have enough time for both of these, which is exciting. Whenever we're ready, why don't we jump into this?
63% of registered Republican primary voters, which are the most, you know, high propensity voters, 63%. This is not the marginalia. This is the most dedicated of the voters believe Joe Biden's illegitimate. Not that there was Jim Jordan, not there's some issues. They're not issues. There's no issues with the 2020 election. They stole it. Let me repeat that. They stole it. And they hate when we say this. They stole it. And they're on notice. They're not going to be able to steal it again. People are doing a ton of work on this, and that's still not enough, but it's going to get better. The hairy eyeball is going to be on them. The only way they defeat Trump is to steal it. The only way they defeat Trump is they steal it. The only way they defeat Trump is they steal it. He is unstoppable.
Oh my God, did anybody else notice that Steve Bannon has come up with like a cheat code to stop people from critiquing his BS arguments? Like, I know he said a lot of stuff that is untrue and I wanna talk about it, but he dropped a hairy eyeball in there, and I feel like I just can't get past that without addressing it. What the hell are you talking about? Steve Bannon, I understand that just based on one look, you are clearly facing some health problems. That is indisputable. Is hairy eyeball one of them? Because like at the very least, shave your eyeballs, man. That can't be good for you. And maybe look into a medicinal solution. I don't know. I see ads from Big Pharma addressing all sorts of things. I haven't seen one for hairy eyeball, but maybe it's available. In any event, that shell of a man, that wasted sack that is Steve Bannon, is reassuring his audience that don't you worry, you have been told that the election was stolen. You were also told that Donald Trump would be returned to the White House before the next election. It didn't happen. It won't happen. You're not wrong, though, to believe that the election was stolen. Plenty of people do. And so he claimed in there that it's not just randos that believe that Joe Biden is illegitimate. No, it's some of the most committed people who follow politics. So here's the thing. We have tracked down, based on the numbers he provided, the actual poll that he appears to be referencing. It is exit polling done by CNN, so it's legitimate. It's CNN for Ohio's recent Republican Senate primary. It's voters in a Republican primary that believe that Joe Biden is illegitimate. What the hell is that supposed to demonstrate? I know what he wants you to think it demonstrates. He wants you to think that, or at least he wants his base to think that everybody thinks that the election was stolen or knows the election was stolen. That's not what it demonstrates. What it demonstrates is that 4 years on from the 2020 election, right-wing media has been incredibly successful at bamboozling their audience and instilling in them a perpetual victimhood complex where they believe that their guy, no matter how flawed as a candidate, no matter how despised by the populace, can never legitimately lose an election when he has never actually won the majority of a vote in an election. Donald Trump lost the popular vote in 2016. He lost in 2020. His candidates regularly lose in midterm elections. He has been a terrible steward of the Republican Party. But ignore all of that. Please, please ignore all of that. And just pretend that it's always been stolen from him. And so, yes, he's right. 65% of the Republican Ohio Senate primary base still believes that the election was stolen. That is a disgrace to see that a political media apparatus has so thoroughly lied to their viewers. But it's one that he's continuing because he's not just talking about that to remind people. He's not looking 4 years back to the last election. He's looking ahead to the next one. And he looks at Donald Trump and he sees a guy that isn't more popular than he was. He's not a better candidate. He's not better at avoiding needless controversy or scandals or turning off independent voters that he desperately needs. He's just as flawed as he was. And so what do you know? They're pursuing the same strategy that they did in 2020. And that strategy was start telling people months out from the election that the thing is going to be stolen. So that when Donald Trump loses, you can immediately transition into, look, I told you. It was going to be stolen, and it was. And now maybe you should grab a gun and you should head to the Capitol grounds. And so I don't know for sure that that's happening coming up soon. But I know that he had no problem with it when it happened last time. And I know that he's not going to be pumping the brakes on people doing it next time. So everyone prepare yourself for what's to come, not only in November, but also in January. In any event, in addition to the victimhood complex, he also, you always on the right have to feel like you are the most aggrieved victim minority ever, and also the best, strongest, most moral person ever. So let's turn to the other side of that now with this.
You're activated. You're a cadre. This every revolutionary movement has to have this. And hey, we've got it, and it's you. And that's what they hate. That's why they're trying to put, they hope in putting Trump in jail and stripping Trump of his resources. They destroy Trump and destroy Trump. All of a sudden, you have no hero. You have no leader. Let me repeat this. They cannot win unless they cheat. They cannot beat Trump unless they steal it. And people say, you can't say that. You know, there's certain, college graduate suburban women who don't like that. You know, or every election is about the future. Screw you.
Okay, so If I can follow the chain of logic of gin-soaked Santa there, these suburban women don't exist. Elections aren't about the future. They're just about relitigating the last time you tried to overturn democracy. But forget about that. The thing that stands out to me there is you're part of a cadre in a revolutionary movement. And my God, do I wish we could return to a time when words had meaning. What he is part of is an incredibly well-funded, top-down funded political movement that's designed to make sure that nothing happens in politics that challenges those who have already won. They've won the economic lottery. They have a stranglehold on our politics and on regulation. They've got the tax cuts that they want, and they are swimming in an ocean of money. To say that you are part of a revolutionary movement when you are trying to get elected a literal billionaire who will get into office to once again shower millionaires and billionaires with massive tax cuts is, I think, one of the most intentionally dishonest things that I've ever heard in politics. It is a 100% counter-revolutionary establishment political movement that is masquerading, cosplaying as a revolution. They want to get into office to stop anything from happening. That is not the thing that revolutions are made of, okay? It does describe a political philosophy. Feel free to study your history and you might be able to figure out which one it is. In any event, we are running very low on time, and so we need to jump to this last topic. Donald Trump's GOP purity vengeance tour continues. In this case, there's a new target. It's Representative Laura Lee, a Republican. Now, wait until you hear how petty and conspiratorial the grievance against Laura Lee actually is. But here is how this began. He bleated this. Any great MAGA Republicans looking to run against Laura Lee in Florida's 15th congressional district? If so, please step forward. So, okay, I'm not even sure that you've heard of Laura Lee or why she would be on his radar. This is Representative Laura Lee. So why is she deserving the call for an open challenge in late March of an election year? Well, Representative Thomas Massie, another current serving Republican, pointed out that this is unhelpful and unwarranted. Laura Lee is a conservative, thoughtful member of the Judiciary Committee. She endorsed DeSantis, ooh, dramatic, for president, but then endorsed Trump when DeSantis got out of the race. More of my colleagues should call out these ridiculous bullying tactics. Well, the issue is that your movement are bullies, and they love when Donald Trump bullies people, and they love when someone else gets cast down from the temple of the Trump thing because they feel closer to him now that there's one less person who's considered in the in-group. And so what is the issue with Laura Lee? Well, as he pointed out, she did endorse Ron DeSantis for president. He's her former boss, by the way. Also, she's the only representative of Florida that endorsed him. So it kind of put a target on her head. I will grant you that. She has since endorsed Donald Trump. And look, she didn't run against Trump. Ron DeSantis ran against Trump, but she's more mad at the woman who briefly endorsed DeSantis. That's not her only crime, though, bear in mind. She also was one of just six Florida GOP members to vote in favor of the $1.2 trillion spending package that's going to allow the federal government to continue to operate. But there were five other GOP members of Florida. In fact, there were 100 total Republicans in the House that voted for that. So that doesn't seem like a good explanation as to why she would be targeted in this way. But as always, we will turn to the political wisdom of Laura Loomer to explain this. So she points out that not only did Laura Lee choose Ron DeSantis over Trump, she also refused to do an audit of the 2020 election in Florida. Ironically, I have all the oppo on Laura Lee. I exposed her working against Trump in 2020 and 2021. So there is something ironic about that, and is that she is dead wrong. As the Secretary of State at that time, Laura Lee did conduct an audit of the votes. Both pre and post election audits were done. So I don't know what audit in their fantasyland version of reality would have been conducted on Florida. Maybe something involving cyber ninjas infiltrating the system or something. But I want to point out one other thing that makes this stupid. So she would have you believe that Laura Lee needs to be replaced by a better, purer MAGA Republican because she wouldn't audit the Florida election, which she did. I will remind you, Trump won the Florida election. They're angry that she didn't, even though she did, audit an election that Trump won by 3 percentage points. He already won it. What are they mad about? But anyway, here's the most fun aspect of this is that this call for an open challenge comes about a month after the qualifying deadline for congressional races. And as of right now, she doesn't have a GOP challenger. Now she could, okay? And Donald Trump doing this open call will draw a lot of attention, and it already has. Here we have Jackie Toledo, who saw the call to arms and is already responding to Laura Loomer's tweet, which I guess is how you announce a candidacy these days. And I don't know what her qualifications are. I do know that she has a Trump 2020 hat with swears on it. So I think she could end up winning this thing, honestly. What more qualification do you need to serve as a congressperson from Florida on the Republican side? In any event, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show, but there's a lot more to come in the aftermath. So if you're watching live, feel free to stick around. We're going to jump into some more fun stories about politics as well as a little bit of pop culture just for fun. And if you're listening on the podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you soon.